Deal or no deal, Wall Street watches Washington Debt Talks.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith in for Jeremy Hobson. Financial markets are watching Washington this morning for signs of some kind of decision on the debt ceiling as the August 2nd deadline creeps ever closer. So far, a compromise doesn't seem to be happening, but the markets are keeping their cool for the most part. Here to talk debt ceiling with us is our very own Heidi Moore. She joins us live here in New York. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Stacey.
So a compromise still seems pretty far off. Why aren't the markets panicking?
Well, we're walking into this with eyes wide open. The deadline is still 8 days away. There's a lot of time to prepare. We could still have cooler heads prevail, and people are waiting for that. And the other thing is that there's no way to prepare if there is a Treasury default, if the crisis happens. Treasuries are like cash. There's nothing anyone can do to protect themselves.
So when will investors start to react? When should we see that happen?
Basically, when the deadline draws closer and even when it passes. We saw something like this in 1993. The debt ceiling didn't get passed until 1995, and then there was a minor crisis. And even during the crisis, there was no blip in the stock markets. So I asked Josh Brown, a financial advisor in New York, how he's preparing his clients for this. And this is what he told me.
We certainly don't view this as something that's going to have a long-term impact on bond markets or stock markets. We're not planning people's futures based on what's going to happen in the next week or two, though.
So it sounds like so far Wall Street is just watching to see what happens.
That's basically it. There's no reason to panic except to panic right now. And it shows that the markets are working, that they are just taking it easy for the time being.
And how does Wall Street view Washington right now? Are they just in shock or...
It's an extension of the scorn both sides have had for each other all along, so it's nothing new on that front.
Good to know some things don't change. Our own New York Bureau Chief, Heidi Moore. Thanks, Heidi.
Thank you, Stacey.
One of the most interested parties in the debt ceiling debacle is China. It's the largest owner of U.S. debt behind our own Federal Reserve. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is in Hong Kong today offering reassurances. Our China Bureau Chief, Rob Schmitz, is on the line now with us from Shanghai. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Stacey.
So why is Hillary Clinton reassuring global investors about these debt talks?
Well, China owns nearly $1.2 trillion of U.S. debt. And I think it helps to explain it this way. Every single dollar of that is a measure of confidence in the U.S. economy. If the U.S. can't pay that back, that's a big loss of confidence from its biggest lender. And ever since the financial crisis, China's been talking about diversifying its debt portfolio, and Secretary Clinton knows this. So if China starts to sell off that U.S. debt in favor of, say, more European debt or debt from other countries, that could damage the U.S. economy.
Are the Chinese worried about what's going on in Washington right now?
I mean, for one thing, China's not scared about the U.S. just going belly up. It's not like there's $14 trillion out there that's due tomorrow. So the holders of this debt, if August 2nd we don't have a deal, it's not like there'll be people sitting there who suddenly don't have $14 trillion they expected to have. But secondly, and maybe more importantly, economists I've talked to say China's actually not that scared. And here's why. China's holdings of U.S. debt are mainly through its central bank. It's not a case of a bunch of private banks holding the debt, which would be a bigger problem because private banks simply aren't as big as China's central bank. I talked to Arthur Kroeber today. He's an economist in Beijing. He says China's central bank has much more financial cushion.
So they can sit around and wait for some kind of resolution to come through. And, you know, in the worst case, the government might have to, you know, put some money into the central bank.
In other words, if China's central bank has a problem and they need more money, they can just print it. As long as they're confident that they'll be paid back someday, it's not a big deal. If you're a private bank, you obviously can't print money.
Our very own China Bureau Chief, Rob Schmitz. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks, Stacey.
And now let's do the numbers. In China, the Shanghai Composite Index fell nearly 3%. European markets are basically flat after Moody's slashed Greek government debt deeper into junk territory, saying the likelihood of a Greek default is roughly 100%. Germany's DAX is down 0.1%. U.S. markets closed down last week. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell to 12,681.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
The Federal Communications Commission will get new information from AT&T today about its proposed merger with T-Mobile. The $39 billion union would reshape the industry. Marketplace's David Gura has more.
If the merger gets approved, AT&T and one other company, Verizon, would control 4/5 of the U.S. wireless industry. The new AT&T would have about 120 million customers. Craig Aaron heads Free Press, a nonprofit that opposes the deal. He says it puts too much power in too few hands.
It would be like Exxon merging with Shell, Citgo, and two or three others before you'd reach that level of concentration.
Last week, several lawmakers spoke out against the merger, which was announced last spring. Today, AT&T is expected to give the FCC some new data. Rebecca Arbogast is an analyst with Stifel Nicolaus.
The question is, are there enough good things that come out of this merger that you couldn't get some other way to justify allowing that reduction in competition?
AT&T argues it could consolidate, costs would go down, and customers would benefit from a bigger, more powerful network. The company hopes the information it gives the FCC will convince the commissioners that's the case. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And finally, Citigroup is unveiling a new credit card today that's being marketed as plain vanilla and fee-free. The so-called Simplicity Card has no late fees, no penalty rates, and a single interest rate for all purchases. It's also got a pretty steep interest rate, 17%, no rewards, and requires a really high credit score to qualify. Hey, it's a credit card. You didn't think there wouldn't be a catch, did you? In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
It seems so basic until you can't do it.
Thumb is able to grasp a plate or to pass a business card or to grasp a key to turn in a lock.
Introducing the iLimb. I'm Kai Rizdahl, publicity for prosthetics. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM. That's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.